The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Our money man, Charlie Weston, the personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, is with us. And you want to start by asking if we or our government should follow a French lead in trying to target shrinkflation.
Yeah, Matt, shrinkflation is a nasty underhand way of manufacturers essentially getting an increase for themselves, essentially, because they are giving you less, they're charging the same price, or maybe even charging more. So in France now, they're leading the way, and they have told big retailers that they will have to notify shoppers when a good has been reduced in size without a corresponding cut in the price, because you're effectively paying more, you're getting less. It's across the board, Matt. It's detergents in this country. It's confectionery.
Yeah, chocolate bars are a big
chocolate
one.
Bar. It's amazing how you see, Matt. You know, your horseradish sauce. Those jars have got tiny these days, you know.
And sometimes the size of the wrapping doesn't necessarily change, but you can quite clearly see that what's inside is taking up less space.
Yeah,
until maybe at a later stage they actually get a new run of packaging and it reduces it to the size. Does it suggest that what you need to do in a lot of things when you're buying in the supermarkets, although you need a good pair of glasses to be able to see the very small print, that under the prices you can actually see price per kilogram or per size when you've all the different packages and try and work out what's the best value? What you've been charged per kilo or whatever measure it might be.
It's very hard to do. You know, I think what the French are doing is very simple. This started with Carrefour, the big retail outlet over there, which forced the manufacturers to put notices on the shelves where the product has been reduced in size. And the French government has now decided they want to do that as well. For 2 months, a notice will have to go from July on the shelf saying this has been reduced in size, but the price is the same. In Hungary, they're doing it as well. It's a big issue in America as well, you know.
In fairness, they need to reduce the size of their portions in America.
Well, they probably do, but they get very annoyed if they're having to pay the same price. And the size of what they're getting has been reduced. I mean, the Cookie Monster at Sesame Street tweeted about it, saying, "Me hate shrinkflation, me cookies getting smaller." And Joe Biden took it up as well. And, you know, and people are really annoyed by it. It really, really annoys people. It's sneaky, it's underhand, it's nasty. And there's no good reason why we shouldn't do something similar here. We have inactive and incurious regulators. We have a food price crisis for 2 years in this country. We had prices gone up at 16% at one stage. There's been no interventions, hardly at all, by the government. Why not something like this, where, you know, people would be informed, transparency, it'd be upfront, we'd know whether something's been reduced in price. I got a message today from somebody who bought a well-known brand of crisps, and she counted the crisps. She said there was 9 crisps in the bag. 9.
What?
9 crisps. I mean, you know, she obviously was so annoyed when she opened the bag. There was so much air and so little else in it that she took them out, put them on a table and counted them.
Well, see, that goes back to my point about the size of the packaging doesn't necessarily change.
It doesn't, no.
It's the amount that goes into the bag.
Rattles around in it and there's a lot of air in these bags. So,
which means they'll go stale more quickly as well.
It does too, yeah. I mean, it just drives people nuts. It's just totally unfair. It's underhand. Why does the consumer always have to lose out? And manufacturers do it because they're afraid that if they keep putting up prices, the people won't bear it and go to own brands or whatever and get away from the big brands. It's particularly the big brands that do this, actually, Matt.
You're going to make our listeners even more grumpy now when you tell them, well, something else has gone up in price from today.
Yeah, today carbon tax comes in on your home heating oil, your natural gas, your coal, your briquettes.
An increase in your carbon tax, because we've already had it.
We've had it for ages now, and it goes up again today. Essentially, look, if you're one of the 600,000 households that use natural gas, it'll add around 17 euros. Today's increase will add 17 euros to your annual cost. Well, that'll take to about 122 euros, the amount of carbon tax on your gas. If you use home heating oil, 19 euros on a 900 litre fill. Coal price goes up about 75 cents a bag, 17 cents on briquettes, about 585 carbon tax on coal. Petrol and diesel went up on the night of the budget. That always goes up on the night of the budget. It's about 15 cents on petrol and diesel, Matt. But here's the thing, Matt. Here is the thing that drives me insane. Jet fuel, one of the big problems for emissions in this country, our overall emissions are down for fossil fuels. Jet fuel way up. There is an exemption from excise duty and carbon taxes from jet fuel.
Charlie, you're going all John Gibbons on us.
No, well, that is just crazy stuff, Matt. That means that some old lady cooks her dinner on a gas hub. She's paying carbon tax, but somebody who flies to the Seychelles is not. And that is completely wrong. I looked at this, the CSO do a good release, fossil fuel subsidies, they call it. And the last one they did was 2021. They said this exemption is an effective subsidy of about 273 million. Now, that was during COVID, very little flying. Before COVID, 2019, 634 million euros. It's an EU directive, apparently. It's an EU directive.
Okay, but if you were to offer people a choice, the removal of carbon tax on home heating and on their petrol or diesel or whatever, and to replace the money lost to the state by an increased tax on flights, do you think would they go for it?
Well, personally, I think that's fair enough. I'm going to fly to Liverpool to see Liverpool play at the weekend.
Well, you're
that's
not being a John Gibbons, so if you're taking a short flight to go see a football match,
we
go on.
But this is for pleasure. I mean, you know, yet, at the same time, if somebody heats their home with natural gas, they would pay carbon tax. I won't. I mean, that's wrong. My flight,
so would you
there's
be
no carbon
prepared?
Tax on my flight. I would, actually. I think that's fair enough.
You'd be prepared to pay more, or else you'd forgo the trip, would you, if it was to cost more?
No, I think a carbon tax should be on. You know, if it's a leisure time activity, a flight, you should have to pay carbon tax. Whereas heating is an essential, cooking is an essential. So you shouldn't necessarily be taxed on that. If you're going to be taxed on essentials, you should be taxed on the luxury stuff as well. I know we're a small island, connectivity is important. Most of the time we're getting off the island for reasons of, you know, holidays or whatever, or trips over to football games, as I'm doing. And there's no carbon tax on that. There's no excise duty on that fuel. You know, and I know the EU, I was on to the Department of Finance about this today, and they say, look, it's an EU directive. It is being looked at EU level, but it just seems terribly, terribly unfair.
Mike. Okay, I'm going to do a snap poll of listeners in relation to this. Just a yes or no answer to this. Would you agree with a special tax been put, or a tax been put on aviation fuel, which would make your flights more expensive if there was a corresponding removal of carbon taxes for home heating and for your car? Right, so get rid of the carbon taxes that impact on your day-to-day living and replace the lost money by an increase, which might be sizable enough, on the price of an airline ticket. Yes or no? Let us know to 0874 100 102. Tell us about home insurance claims last night, last year, the reasons why people made home insurance claims.
Yeah, this might surprise you. I would have thought that the big one was theft from the home, Matt, but that's actually tiny. You know, that's about 3% of claims. There was an interesting kind of study done by People Insurance. Now, they supply insurance through credit unions, and they looked at the big reason for home insurance claims. And the big one, Matt, is burst pipes and water leaks. And boy, does that cause a headache for a homeowner. You could be talking about replacing plasterboards, floorboards, kitchen units, if you have a leak in a house. If you're away for a weekend and it happens for a while, it'll create mayhem. 41% of the claims made to People Insurance were due to water damage, essentially. The next big one was storm and flood damage at about 20%. Fire, about 11%. And as I say, theft, a much, much smaller one. Doesn't say you shouldn't put on the alarm. Doesn't say you shouldn't lock the house every night. But the big one is, the big danger is anything to do with water. So look, if there's the slightest problem, if you suspect you have a leak, it's worth your while getting somebody out to check it. You know, and don't go away if you suspect there's something wrong. Have somebody check in the home, because it does really cause untold damage to a home. Burst pipe, it can cause tens of thousands of euro worth of damage. And don't be underinsured as well. Make sure home insurance is going up. And I generally treat anything I hear from the insurance industry with a pinch of salt. The reason on this one, Matt, it's because repairs and replacement and rebuilding costs are way up. So they have to charge you more in your insurance to make sure you're fully covered if there's damage to your home.
Charlie, I put out that question. One listener says, absolutely not. Do not agree that people should have an extra aviation tax until China and India start to be made accountable for their carbon emissions. However, overwhelming, I can't count because so many have come in just a few moments, overwhelming yes to the idea that I posited of getting rid of the carbon taxes on the things that impact on our day-to-day lives and instead loading them onto things like aviation fuels, where you would have, it's a discretionary spend when sure. You're off on a holiday or on a way trip to a football match like you. Now, one says the carbon tax should be levied on both, not one offsetting the other. Carl believes we should actually tax the flights and tax people. But overwhelmingly, I wonder if it was allowed by the EU, if it would be a sensible option for the government to examine. Although I would bet, Charlie, you try to do that. Can you imagine the fuss Michael O'Leary and the airline industry would kick up?
He doesn't run Ireland. And remember, Matt, carbon tax is terribly regressive. It hits poorer people much harder than it hits wealthy people. We must not forget that as well. It's very regressive as a tax.
Charlie Weston, Personal Finance Editor of the Irish Independent. Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.